conference finals are in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is, it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to Pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes every day in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pool to Play page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports betting perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Monday, June 21st, Ian Cameron with you once again. And we are joined once again by Grant Arnold, who was on the show with us yesterday for the first time. Alex and Jimmy both have concurring doctor's appointments this afternoon, so unable to make it. But we're hoping to have both Alex and Jimmy Murphy back on the show on Tuesday, so looking forward to that. In the meantime, we got Grant Arnold back with us again today on this Monday. Grant, welcome back to the Ice Guys last night. We'll talk a little bit about that. Congratulations to you. Good call right here on this show. The Montreal Canadiens team total under 2.5 was one of the bets that Grant made yesterday in the game between the Golden Knights and the Canadiens. Really, that game, when you recap it, Grant, it's a game that was kind of like the reverse of what we saw in Game 3, where Vegas has just taken it to Montreal, but can't score early in the game, carrying the play. Montreal gets better as the game goes on, and then they win it in overtime. And yesterday was the reverse. Montreal actually had the great start, and they peppered Robin Lehner with a bunch of shots early in that game. They tested him early, and to Lehner's credit, he was ready to stand in there and make the saves. He was very good early in the game, and he continued to play well throughout. Yet it was Montreal that got on the board first with a terrific, terrific breakaway goal ball by Paul Byron. This guy is just, he just seems to elevate his game in the playoffs, this guy, Paul Byron, because in the regular season, you know, he's a solid player. He's good at both ends of the ice, but he's not usually the kind of guy that's all of a sudden going to be scoring goals left and right and big goals like he has here in the playoffs. But he has stepped up for Montreal. He got them on the board, but Vegas stuck with it. They were only down a goal. They came out firing in the third period, tied the game on a Braden McNabb shot that maybe Carey Price could have had, but he's been so good in these playoffs, even in a goal that maybe he should have stopped. It's hard to criticize him because he's just been so freaking awesome otherwise here in the playoffs. And then, of course, a great goal by Nicholas Waugh in overtime. Patience and poise with the puck, Grant. How many times do you hear that, I'm sure, from coaches? And Nicholas Waugh had that. Finished it, patient, outweighed Price, outweighted the sprawling defenseman, roofed it, elevated it, which he had to do, and Vegas gets the win in overtime. What's your thoughts, Grant, on last night's game?
Oh, I mean, I thought it was a great game. I think, like, right off the bat, as you said, it was that reverse of the game three, and, like, the first 20, maybe even 25 minutes of the game, I was thinking in my head, like, gosh, Montreal deserves to be here, man. Like, all the hate and all the, you know, not even the hate, but all the criticism of they're getting lucky, and we talked about it a little bit the other day, but these guys are a really good hockey team, and they're executing at a very high level. And then the other thing about that is I love how this is why playoff hockey is so awesome, because every game is different and there's adjustments being made, and home ice is an advantage. It could be a disadvantage. And we see all these ups and downs, and every series is different and every game's different. And, and how Montreal came out yesterday, and I really thought Vegas was going to come out and punch them right in the mouth with Leonard and net, and you know, a must-win type game. And Montreal, sure enough, comes out and maybe play their best period of the series, at least one of them. I thought their forecheck was extremely aggressive. I've been all over Vegas's defensemen all season. I think they're one of two of the best defensive cores in the league. Them and Tampa, I think, are right there. But they had no time and space. And you know, that's good coaching and great job. I'm drawing a blank on the assistant coach's name that's stepping in.
Oh, for Luke Richardson for
Luke
Montreal.
Richardson, yeah. Luke Richardson. Yeah. He's done a hell of a job, and the veterans on that team have done a hell of a job. And then at the same time, I look at Vegas and go, I really respect that play from Coach DeBoer and to put Leonard in. I mean, that could have gone a lot of other ways if it was a different score, or if Leonard doesn't make that amazing save in the first period where he gets his left pad on it and then he sticks his left glove out there, and there was really no angle that you could see if the puck went in or not. And obviously no goal. And I think that was so big for him. I had the Montreal under 2.5. So I was really hoping that he could feel the rubber early in that game to kind of get some confidence back, because obviously he got train wrecked last time in Colorado. And then to just go to Vegas, man, I think, you know, I said it yesterday, I think you get their best performance when their back's against the wall. And yesterday, that was not their best performance. We've seen a lot better 60-minute displays from that team. And my point to that, though, is that sometimes you win games when you don't play your best. And I think they had 4 shots in the first period or somewhere around there. It was under 6. And to have a must-win game and to just stay composed in that locker room, it's a veteran team. I mean, these are two, the 4 teams left, and hockey's a beautiful game because most of the time the best team wins in a best of 7. And these four teams deserve to be here. I don't know the next time we're going to see Fleury, but I can tell you that's a hell of a card to have in your back pocket. Because the second Leonard starts to go down a little bit, you got Fleury in there, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. When Fleury starts to smile and goes through a little bit of adversity, that's where I'm grabbing my wallet and I'm banking it on Fleury. So hopefully that time will come. Hopefully it doesn't. I guess it depends on what side of the coin you're on. But Vegas is in a really good spot, and what a monstrous win last night. And to touch on Waugh's goal, the composure there, I mean, that's big-time clutch goal scorer. And he's not a goal scorer, but you see the fourth liner.
It's the type
NHL
of goal,
there.
A clutch big, goal scorer, big time forward.
Hell
would do.
Yes.
The poise,
100%.
The finish, waiting out the goalie, an elite goalie. The defenseman's trying to block the shot, but you outweight them. And then you don't just shoot it into pads. You don't just shoot it into the guy's knee that's trying to block the shot. You roof job that thing. And that's exactly what he did.
So beautiful. So beautiful. And to see it from that guy, and that's the playoffs, you know, it's, yep. That was the biggest goal of Vegas' season right there. And now we turn the page, and now we're back to the next one. So that's the beauty of it. And here we go again. We got a hell of a series. I like Vegas with that momentum, but every game's a new game, as I said.
Yeah, it felt like a huge game for Vegas to win, to get home ice advantage back. I mean, Montreal's in the point now where they're going to have 3 opportunities to finish Vegas if they had won last night and gone up 3-1 in the series, and have the potential to clinch the series on home ice in game 6. Now that's not necessarily the case. They're going to have to find a way to win in Vegas if they hope to wrap up the series in game 6, and that's a big if. They also might be facing elimination back home in Montreal the next time they're back here for a game 6. So that is how imperative that game was for Vegas to be able to win that game and get the series back in their favor. But I'm still, you know, I said it on Twitter last night, though, and even though Vegas won, they've tied up the series, this series price that was put out there for this series before it started, Vegas as high as a minus 550 series favorite, meaning you would have had to risk $550 just to win 100 on Vegas to win this series. That's got to be one of the most laughable series prices I've ever seen, because this is not if you just watch this series in the first 4 games, can you see one team that is minus 550 in the series price better than the other?
Not even remotely close to 500. Not even remotely close. Maybe 200. Maybe.
Yeah, and I thought I had it high when it was minus 270. I think I had Vegas run minus 300
going
into the series. And I thought maybe I'm being too high on it. Then I saw it come out, and I'm like minus 450, minus 550. And I'm like, that's absolutely insane. And then when I started digging into the series more, I said, well, let's look at maybe a sprinkle on – and I did take Montreal plus 425. Right. It was just a price play. In that it was just too high. It was it was inflated on Vegas, hugely inflated price. So I took Montreal, took them plus 1.5 games. And then the big bet was the one that cashed officially last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was one of the biggest bets I've had in the playoffs of the entire season. That bet, which was over 5.5 games in the Montreal Vegas series. Do you know what the price was of that, Grant? Minus 110.
Minus 110. Okay.
Even money. Just to have the series go six games.
That is how discredited
and how little people thought of Montreal coming into this series, saying, oh, they play in the North Division. Oh, but Vegas played with Colorado and Minnesota in that beast of a West Division, mm-hmm. and Montreal's not going to match up with them, yada, 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 all this stuff. And all of a sudden, and people forget too, yeah, Vegas, that West Division, those top three teams, you can put them up against anybody. Pound for pound, they're as good as it gets, right? Vegas, Colorado, and Minnesota, the three teams from that West Division, outstanding. But a lot of people were also mentioning and saying how the North was bad, that Montreal's got to play this Calgary and Vancouver and all these weaker teams in that division. Well, what about the West Division? You got three bad California teams in that division that weren't really any good this year, Anaheim, San Jose, and L.A. We're not going to say anything about that for Vegas, but we're going to talk about Montreal feasting on Vancouver and Ottawa, an Ottawa team that, you know, to be honest with you, is not a bottom feeder, even though they've finished last in that division or next to last. I mean, that was a hardworking, competitive, tough out
to beat
that Ottawa team. Yeah. So this North Division versus West Division comparison that, whoa, it's like they were talking, Grant, seriously, they were talking before this series, a lot of people, that Vegas plays in this elite level hockey league and Montreal's like in a league that's two leagues below it with the way they were talking about Vegas versus mm-hmm. Montreal. I don't argue that Vegas probably has a better roster top to bottom, deserve to be favorites in this series, no question. But we're talking about that as minus 550, like these two teams are playing hockey leagues in different planets or something. And there's not even a comparison between one team and one league. It's like they got Montreal talking about them like they're playing in a league that's two leagues below the league that Vegas is playing in. And to me, I just don't see it.
I think it's a great point to bring out for, you know, through my betting journey over the last 3 years where I've gotten really into it and kind of going in depth and really working on analyzing and all of these things. And this is a good lesson for a lot of people that I've learned is you can't just go off the mainstream media for a lot of these things. You need to get some other sources, whether they're apps, websites, YouTube, podcasts, whatever, because, and not that they're always going to be different, but they're looking at different things and they're digging into the ground of this series. They're getting deep and getting to the roots of it and what really matters. And again, you might just get a little bit different of a viewpoint. And for me, my first year, I didn't really know a lot about these podcasts and websites and apps and what stats to look for and all these kind of things. And for what Ian's saying is that value bet was on the over 5.5 games. I mean, that was a really, really good bet because you look at it, Montreal's going to win a couple games. Those are just the fact. That's just how it is. This is to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and we've talked a lot about Montreal and how good they've been and what they bring to the table. And I go back to it. I've said it a lot. I'll say it again. Is they're just a tough team to beat. You just have a lot of veterans and you got a good goaltender. And in the playoffs, those are very high value to people that are betting on it or even just playing the game. Like I remember on teams that I had a really good goalie and a really good decor, shit, we could beat anyone on any given night. That's the game of hockey. And when everything's magnified and you're doing line matchups and doing all these different things and you're playing the same team every other day, you can really get into the details, and that's where you can get a lot of value, and you got to watch the games to do that. But this is one of those things where it's that, like you said, it's the Western Division with the Avs in Minnesota. Well, Anaheim was trash. L.A. was trash. And Zona had a little bit. They, you know, they weren't terrible, but they weren't good. And for the, just no NHL series price should really ever be like that. I mean, it's that's too much. So it's a great bet. I'll tip my cap to you on that one. And it's one of those things where you really have to dig in and get to the roots and find good research. For me, that's one of the things I take from hearing you talk on that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I've also got smaller bets, much smaller. The big one, the big kahuna bets for me were the over 5.5 in both the Islanders Lightning and the Golden Knights and the Canadians. Both of those have cashed now. But I've also got, you know, a quarter to half of that amount on over 6.5 games in both series. And the price for that is plus 180. It was plus 180 for that in the Vegas-Montreal series. So there you go. Risk 100, you win 180, you know, if you take that. And even in the Islander-Tampa series, it was a plus price, I think plus 140 for the over 6.5 games. And that's still very, very live in both series. You know, you could easily see both of these series going 7 at this point. So this definitely has the potential in terms of series wagers. This could be the best round I've ever had, because I will bet series wagers every year in the playoffs, every round. This is a round where I could actually sweep the board still. Especially with these over 5.5 and over 6.5 games. And hell, the big dogs that I took a small, very small sprinkle on, the Islanders and the Canadians, you know, they're both still very alive in these two series. You know, it's best of three now in both of them. Now, they both got to play two road games out of the three, but, you know, never say never. They're capable. And you made a good point about the skill. The skill, yeah, one team may have superior skill, but at playoff time, guess what? The edges that the superior skill team has in the regular season over a certain team is dumbed down, because guess what? The checking is tighter. The defense is even tougher. The goaltending is usually very good at playoff time. And all of a sudden, those massive edges you have with superior skill and superior speed and superior playmaking ability with the puck, it's just not there at playoff time like it is in the regular season, because it's just tight checking. Time and space for that superior skill is not there in the playoffs like it is in the regular season to make those plays. Ask all those guys that are sitting at home right now, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, go on down the list, and all those teams, Crosby and Malkin on Pittsburgh and Gensel, that team. Go on down the list. Pasternak, Bergeron, Marchand for Boston. Go on down the list of teams with incredible skill. Yeah. Why are they sitting at their asses at home right now? Because guess what? Time and space by solid decors and goaltending, and you said you've played on a few of those teams, can level the playing field at playoff time and make it tough for those teams to, where it looks like on paper, oh, better skill, four lines mm-hmm. that can score. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You got defense and goaltending and checking lines that can shut that down. And those sides seem to be winning out, at least this year here so far, Grant, in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You're totally right, and it's one of my favorite things to talk about, because this is why hockey's such an awesome game. And the regular season and the postseason, I've said this for a long time, they're almost two different sports. And so, yeah, you know, you look at the Avs, you look at some of those Vancouver teams, some of those Washington Capital teams. You know, you could San Jose Sharks, there's a couple of years of them where, you know, you're winning the President's Trophy by 8 to 10 points, you're first place. And it looks like, damn, how the hell is anyone going to beat these guys? And sometimes it's in the first round. And to your point, that's what it's about. It's about those little intangibles. And I remember playing on multiple teams where we didn't have as good of a record as the team we would be playing in the playoffs. This happened two or three times in my career. And in the locker room, our coaching staff, owners, and players, we're smiling because we know that's a softer team over there. And the calls aren't going to be as tight. We can line match. We can get in their face. We can send messages in the first game, you know, where we're going to be really physical in the first 20 minutes and the score really doesn't matter, because we're going to play these guys a maximum three more games no matter what. And so you want to send messages, and that's where character and getting the right players really comes into play. And you're seeing it with these four teams left. I mean, you talk about the Islanders' fourth line. You talk about Vegas's decor and goaltending. You talk about Tampa's veteran coaching, Stanley Cup champion. Their depth is off the charts. Tampa's Tampa. And then we have the Islanders with Trotsky, a Stanley Cup champion, and they play a great playoff-style game. So I didn't think the Islanders would make it as far as they did without Anders Lee. So I'll tip my cap to them big time, because before the season – I was like, this team has a hell of a shot with Lee. and they've pursued without him. So there's many intangibles in hockey, unlike many other sports, and that's why the game-to-game analysis for playoffs is really fun. It's one of my favorite things to bet on is playoff hockey because every game's so different.
It is. It's a game-by-game analysis. You're right. Things can one game doesn't carry over to the next at playoff time. It just doesn't. No doubt about that. And look at we'll get to the Lightning and Islanders and tee up game five tonight in just a second. But, you know, that series is back and forth. Look, Tampa Bay won the last game. It didn't factor into the last game. Islanders bounce back and win. So that's the way playoff hockey goes, one game to the next. Before we put the bow on Vegas and Montreal, by the way, we mentioned Austin Matthews being one of those playoff casualties, a guy that had his time and space taken away. Yeah, he's basically going to UFC pay-per-view cards with Justin Bieber because he had his time and space taken away. That's been, you know, that's why he's being able to have the time to go to UFC fights.
I saw that. Maybe he can pick something up, bring a little grit. I don't know, but that was I was laughing when I saw him hanging with Biebs, a front row for the UFC.
Yeah, of course. What was the great joke that night? Who had the round one finish there that night? Oh, Jamal Hill. He got knocked out in the first round. It's like
by
Austin
Paul
Matthews
Craig,
knows
yes.
what Jamal Hill is feeling, how to get knocked out in the first round.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
That was the running joke
that night. That. When, yeah, I love that. I haven't heard that yet.
Great one. Yeah, that was the running guy. Actually, I think I posted that on Twitter because I saw Matthews there. Well, now Matthews watching this UFC card, he knows what Jamal Hill just felt like getting knocked out in the first round.
He can help him in the locker room, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I've been there, man. Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. I know what you're talking about there. Yeah, but I can't wrap up this game talking Montreal-Vegas. And look, we got to give DeBoer credit. You're right. I said he's a genius if Leonard wins, and he's a chump if he loses and plays poorly. He got the good Robin Leonard last night. He was terrific. They got the win. So the move worked. You know, he gambled, you know, very fitting for the head coach of the Golden Knights in Vegas that he was doing a little gambling yesterday. And it worked for him putting in Robin Leonard. And look, Alex Tuch, that's also good in-game adjustments from a coaching standpoint by DeBoer. Put Tuch back with the line he's comfortable on with Waugh and Janmark. On that third line, and guess who scores the overtime goal? Waugh, Janmark, and Tuch, that third line, leading to the overtime goal. So it was a good coaching night for him. However, it was not a good night, and I cannot finish wrapping up talking about this game before we hit on this. It was not a good night for the refereeing last night in that game. Chris Lee and Dan O'Rourke, who have had their share of playoff problems here in terms of bad officiating, lack of consistency with their calls from one game to the next. For them, it was rock bottom last night in that regard. That was horrendous, hideous, borderline embarrassing officiating for the league. To sit back and watch these ticky-tack hooking calls and these piddly little interference calls where there's barely any contact get called at times last night. And then you see a guy at the end of the second period get punched right in the kisser, right in the jaw, at the end of the period, and no call on that right at the end of the period. It's an infuriating standard for the coaches, for the players, and everybody in the game that these little, piddly, minuscule hooks, holds, interference calls are being made in a playoff game, and yet you're seeing these scrums after the whistle with cross checks, and you're seeing, you know, punches to the face, and nothing is being called there. And in fact, if you look at the punch that Suzuki took at the end of the second period, it actually looks like Chris Lee sees it happen. And then he pretends to turn away as if, oh, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything there. It's almost like he almost tried to make it look like he pretended not to see anything there on that call. It was atrocious. And you're at the point now where they had one bad game together as officials. I believe it was in the Tampa series earlier in this round. And now they did game three of this series, and the officiating wasn't great that night either. And then it was even worse 10 times last night because it was no standard of consistency from one call to the next, from one period to the next. And if I'm a Montreal fan, I'm a little frustrated because I thought they missed more calls on Vegas last night than the other way around. I get I don't want to say they got screwed because that's not the sole reason they lost that game. But if I'm a Montreal fan, I'm pissed off because I thought they missed a lot of stuff on Vegas last night. But just overall, the standard was piss poor for Chris Lee and Dan O'Rourke officiating that game last night. And now that they've had two, you could say three, really poorly officiated, substandard officiated games in this round of the playoffs, you got to seriously think, you know what? Come Stanley Cup finals time, you guys are going home. You're just going to watch the playoffs. You won't be officiating them at this point, because I don't know how Gary Bettman, Bill Daly, and the league officials can look themselves in the mirror and say, this is the standard we want in the Stanley Cup final from these two guys, Chris Lee and Dan O'Rourke, because the standard just wasn't good enough at all last night from those two guys. And I don't think they're going to be in the finals now because of it. Get Wes McCauley in there. He's arguably the best there is in the NHL. Get someone else. I don't think he can get these two guys. They've just been too terrible with the standard now throughout this round, Grant.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the one thing that you kept saying, and it's the one thing that players and coaches only care about is consistency. And if you're going to call it one way, call it one way. If you're going to call it the other way, call it the other way. But when you're going back and forth, it sucks. It sucks as a player because it really affects your mind on the ice. I mean, it's because you see a penalty that wasn't called in game one or in game two, and then it's called in game three, or it's even within the game. A hooking call wasn't called in the first, and then it gets called in the second, and it's against your team. And that frustration can really, really build. And I don't know the refs' names as well as you do. I know Wes McCauley, and I know that the players really like him, and so do the coaches. And the one thing that I've noticed from him is he's just a good communicator. He tries to keep things, you know, at least everyone level on the same. What he's thinking, he's expressing that to the benches and to the players. And this has been one of those things with hockey for, you know, forever, really, is, as I said it earlier, with the, you know, it's almost a different sport, and that's okay. And that's good, but we still got to have some type of standard. And that's what we're talking about. And it's one of those really hard things to do. Obviously. I mean, the league's been struggling with it for a while of really dialing in these calls. And the other thing is, I mean, it's tough on these refs. I'll give them that. But when you're at this level, consistency is not that hard to ask for, in my opinion. I think consistency, you can make that happen. I know there's going to be hard calls, and you're a human being, and you're going to be making mistakes. And these are the fastest skaters in the world. Big moments. I get that. But when it's multiple times in a row and multiple times in a series, that's when the frustration starts to come out from owners, from coaches, from players. And that sucks, because now guess what? They're affecting the series a little bit, and no one wants that. They don't want that. So we're in a very weird kind of middle ground of, we got to jump on one side here as a refereeing crew. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's getting better refs. Maybe it's better training. You know, it's not all on these guys. We're being hard on them right now, but it's the refereeing as a whole. I think, you know, they really need to work on getting a consistent line. And like I said, it's hard, and there's going to be a lot of mistakes. This game is fast as hell, and it's played by big human beings. So things are going to happen, make mistakes, but let's get back on the fine line of something so we all know what to look for.
Yeah, that's right. I think we got to get to the point where, guess what? Every hook is a hook. Every punch is a punch, and you're going to get roughed or whatever the case after the whistle. And you just cannot go one incident to the next and say, oh, you know what? Time and score, I can't call that. Mm-hmm. No, that's enough of this time and score nonsense, because we've been playing this game for years. And I don't know if it's ever going to end, Grant, because you can go back. This is a tale as old as time.
As the game itself. Yeah.
You could go back to the 70s and the 80s. And who's kidding who? You get a hooking penalty in a scoreless game in the first period, it's going to get called. You have that same hook happen, especially when it happens to the team that's trailing in the game 3-2 with a minute 30 to go in the third period. It's not going to get called. It's the old scoreboard effect. And time and score situation. And that shouldn't be. We should find a way to make a penalty is a penalty at any point in the game. If you commit the penalty and it fits the rule book that it is a penalty, it's called. And I'd like to get to a point where we have every penalty that is a penalty called at all times of the game. But I just don't know if we'll ever get there, because there's that human element that says, boy, I can't make this call with a one goal game with 2 minutes to go. Oh boy, I can't make this call now with this with the game tied in overtime with, you know, 10 minutes to go in a playoff game. I can't do that because I don't want to potentially decide the game. But that's the human element that these refs are dealing with. So that's the balance here. I want penalties to be called in the first period, just like they are in the third and in overtime. But are we ever going to get to a place in this league where that indeed happens? Fuck if I know. I don't think so, though. I'll be honest.
There's no chance. No, we might as well have a couple pints and just bitch about it to each other, because this one, you know, there that we can get better, but it's one of those things where it's just it's hard. It is what it is, man, and it's something that maybe one day, you know, we can just get a little bit better. But yeah, it's tough, and it's hard to. It's just the human element, and the game's so freaking fast. And now we got so many of the ticky-tacky calls that we didn't used to have ten years ago, you know, where you can really go for a ride on someone and hook them in their gut and leave a mark on their gut and not get a penalty. And now there's a lot of tick-tacky. So, you know, maybe it may be a rule change and let's figure something out. Who knows? We'll keep talking about it for a while, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that we're going to be talking about refereeing inconsistencies now, just like we were talking about it 20 years ago, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it 20 years from now as well. Speaking of things we're going to talk about now, we're talking about Islanders and Lightning now. It's game 5 of their Stanley Cup semifinal series. We have Tampa Bay minus 200 in a lot of spots right now. Home favorites here in game 5. The total is currently 5, shaded slightly to the over in this game tonight. The New York Islanders had tied up the series Saturday, 3-2 victory, saved by the pad save and a beauty, not by Semyon Varlamov, but by Ryan Pulock at the end of that game the other night. One of the truly great, spectacular individual efforts of the playoffs to, you know, find that puck, make the save, keep it from going in, because that would have tied the game. And there's a chance that Tampa Bay's got all the momentum going into overtime if it gets there. So great play by him. Islanders, I thought, were better than the Lightning for extended parts of game 4, especially in the second and in the third period. I really thought the Islanders got their forecheck going. It was good to see Josh Bailey get on the scoreboard. I talked about him on Saturday's show previewing this game. He needs to find his offense. Same with Beauvillier. And Beauvillier had some chances. So it's good to see those two guys had some opportunities to put the puck in the net for the Islanders. We talked about how good it was to see Matt Martin chip in a goal for them as well. That fourth line with him, Clutterbuck and Cizikas, they don't get enough credit for the forecheck that they bring to this Islanders team. So now Tampa Bay comes back home looking to bounce back here in game 5. They have not lost 2 consecutive playoff games this year in the playoffs, and that's the tricky part for me. You know, it's hard to find value with Tampa Bay. They're minus 200 favorites. The regulation line is around minus 110 to minus 115, which is probably better if you're going to look toward that side. You could look puck line, but I don't love puck lines in this year's playoffs because you're seeing a lot of tight checking, low scoring games. I mean, I got burned with the puck line in Vegas, you know, last night, minus 1.5. One goal games have been very, very common here, especially now that we're down to the final 4 here and in the Stanley Cup finals, semifinals. But to me, Tampa Bay, I have a hard time believing they're losing this game tonight. I would maybe look at them in the first period, potentially minus a half goal, plus 155 in this game tonight. If you're looking for value, that's the best value there is, in my opinion. The Tampa Bay's flying out of the gate. They come out strong, take it to the Islanders early. It's a huge game for them. You don't want to play with the fire of being down 3-2, going back to Nassau Coliseum. The madhouse there for game 6. So it's an important game for the Lightning. And let's be honest, the Lightning had a pretty bad first couple periods, and all of a sudden they get those 2 goals in the third. And for as good as the Islanders played in game 4, they're hanging on, you know, at the end and just trying to survive and hang on with that 3-2 victory. So there is a better game for Tampa Bay in them moving forward. We'll see if they can bring it tonight. I have very lukewarm thoughts on the side and the total. I just have a small, probably bet for me on the first period here with Tampa Bay. The over 5 is kind of appealing as well, but I could see it being another, you know, 3-2-4-1. It lands right on 5, just like the last game did. But I would lean that way. Obviously, Tampa Bay, if they're going to win, they're probably going to find a better path of scoring goals, finding offense in this game. And I think they will in that regard. The one bet that I truly do love to make it a pretty sizable bet for this game, because the other bets are small. Tampa Bay first period puck line will be small. The over 5 will probably be a smaller bet for me as well. But the one that I like, Usually in sports betting, Grant, when you cash something that has won for you in seven straight games and you bet it again the next time, usually you don't get it at a plus price. But that's what you get tonight with Braden Point to score a goal for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He is plus 150, plus 160 to score a goal. He has scored in seven consecutive playoff games coming into tonight, and he has scored 12 goals in the 15 playoff games overall that the Tampa Bay Lightning have played this season. And to me, this is just a guy that finds the back of the net, and he finds a way to make an impact, and he finds a way to score a big goal for you. And look, in a big game like this where you're trying to hold serve, maintain home ice advantage, and go up 3-2 in the series, it's hard not to expect Braden Point to find the back of the net once again for the eighth straight game. And he is only, three games away from tying the all-time record for most games consecutively with a goal in the playoffs, which is 10. And it was done many, many, many years ago. I've been thinking back in the 70s. So he's three away from tying that record. Braden Point, plus 150 to score a goal is just, look, seven straight games with a goal, and you get that price. It's impossible for me to pass that up. So Braden Point to score a goal, absolutely plus 150, especially in a game of this magnitude coming off a loss. You know that guy's going to bring it. He always does, but especially with his team losing the last game, I'd be absolutely shocked if you don't get another great game and great performance from Braden Point tonight for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that goal score props, my favorite look, side total or props in this game. It's that bet, Braden Point plus 150 to score a goal tonight. Grant, what do you think? Let's hear your analysis here. Game five tonight, Isles and Lightning.
I mean, I love that point. That point bet, it's one of those things. I mean, why stop? Why stop? This is something special that he's doing. Obviously, seven straight games with a goal. Must win game. He's a clutch player. Why not? Why not? I absolutely love that bet. I think, you know, to just talk about the Islanders a little bit, I was reading a quote from Trotz today, and this is from him. This is what we expected. We expected to be 2-2 going back to Tampa. And I just wanted to comment on you know, I think these may be the two best coaches in the league, in my opinion, Coop and Trotzy. There's a lot of good ones, but these guys, I just love the way they coach, and I love the way they control the locker room. They control the energy. They control the culture. And you see it at this time of the season. You know, the composure from both the teams, the Trotzy timeout last game, Coop doing his thing in between the second and third, getting Tampa back in that game. So I expect a really solid hockey game from both these teams tonight. I don't see it getting too high up there in the score. I could see an under five. I could see right at five. One of my least favorite bets to do is to bet an under when Tampa's in the game. It's just scary to do because of all the firepower they have. So as I was kind of going through my stats and what to look at for this game, I saw that over five and under five, and I think the under five was at plus 120 or something like that. Right in that range, depending on what book you use. And I loved it. I said, I like this. I'm going to go for it. This is Barry Trotz, New York Islanders, best of three series to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. I like their defensive game, kind of like I did with Vegas last night. Leonard scared me a lot, but I trust what that team is about and what they are made of. And the Islanders are made of good coaching, veteran D, and great goaltending. And they've had a lot of good production from guys like Barzal, and Bailey's great. Nelson's been just weirdly scoring clutch goals or big-time goals. So I look at him. And then for a couple of the player props that I was looking at, for whatever reason, this is not a lot of research on this bet. This is just kind of one of those vibe things. So very small was Pageau to score for the Islanders is plus 300. He's one of those guys that, to me, always scores big goals. He's not a huge goal scorer, but he does produce. And so I like him at plus 300. And then the other two player props for me on Tampa, that again, these are all small bets. The Pageau is a small bet at plus 300. And then Goudreau and Maroon, both to score, not a separate bets. They're both at plus 425. Maroon's a guy, he's won two cups in the last 2 years. He obviously knows how to win. It's a big time game. You know, he's going to be around that blue paint, using that big ass to get in front of Arlie. I mean, God, the guy is just a bowling ball.
He looks like a mountain man.
Man, it's crazy. And I've played the biggest I weighed when I played was 236, and that was heavy. And I don't even want to know what that dude's weighing right now, but that's a lot of corner weight. He's going to be weighing a lot of corner. That's a lot of girth, man. And then Goudreau's just, I like his game, the way he's playing. And I really don't like to do this, as I did it last night, and I didn't win it. But it's hard to find value here with Tampa, as you said. I trust Tampa in this game. I like them in regulation. That's going to be one of my bets. And then I'm also going to kind of put my nuts out there and go with an under five, which is extremely scary to me. But it's one of those things. I trust that Islander defense, and then but I trust Tampa's clutch production to score a couple goals more than that. So that's kind of where my mindset is on this game.
There you go. Like in a couple of – I like it. Under five.
Under
like
five.
In a couple of those – Pat Maroon – and Freddie Gaudreau, a couple of those under the radar goal scorer props from the Lightning side of it. JG Pageau for the New York Islanders.
Yes,
I like those. And I bet Pageau a couple of times to score.
He's
a goal,
one of those guys.
Yes, he is. And the later the series goes, it seems like he makes more of an impact, especially offensively. And you could say that for sure about now. Maybe this is not the night to bet him because it's not an elimination game yet. But if it gets to being an elimination game, Brock Nelson,
yeah.
The Islanders has really, really found a way to score big goals in those games. So
only big
keep
goals.
That in mind. Yes, absolutely. Like if it gets to, even if it's 3-2 Islanders, they have the chance to eliminate, or if it's 3-2 Tampa and they're facing elimination, the Islanders still look to Brock Nelson. He's been great. Like he's been beyond good in these elimination games, finding ways to score goals in those games for the Islanders. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. Someone asking in the chat, would you bet Tampa Bay shots on goal over? In theory, it makes sense. You got a team off a loss back home. I'd want to check that first. I will bring that up right now in terms of the, because some books have shots on goal and then some will offer goalie saves.
The saves or
so
the shots.
So it depends on the book. Some have shots on goal for the team. Some have the goalie saves. So you could bet it either way. But obviously, shots on goal is the one I usually try for. I will look that up right now on the since it was asked. But
it's a great. I mean, I like doing those bets. I don't do them a lot, but they're fun bets to do. I'm looking at
31.5 shots on goal for Tampa Bay. That's a lot, but they are at home. I wouldn't bet it under. I don't know if I'd bet it over because I've bet some of these 29.5, 30.5, and it's either been right at the number. It's a pretty sharp number. It's a pretty sharp line. It seems like it's going to be right around that number, to be honest with you, because you have to keep in mind the Islanders pretty good at shot suppression. There's a reason that they're in the semifinals, and it's because you know they're pretty good at blocking shots as well, and you got to make sure these shots get to the net. And I find a lot of times, too, you got a team that blocks a lot of shots. You got a team that's in very good defensive posture and very good defensive position. I find when you do get those shots away, you're missing the net because you're trying to be too fine with your shots because you're worried about the shot blocker. Mm-hmm. You're worried about the goalie. You're trying to fit it into this perfect little spot to beat the shot blockers and the goaltending. And as a result, you miss the net.
Yep.
And that does you no good when you're betting over shots on goal, does it? So that's the thing you always run into, you know, a little bit of a concern about is this time of year, you've got a good defensive team in the Islanders. They block a ton of shots. It's not like Varlamov's playing poorly right now. He's playing really, really well. So you're just worried, are you going to get enough of those shots? I think they'll fire a lot of shots. That's why some of these games, Grant, when these good defensive teams are involved, I wish shot attempts was something I could bet.
Oh, wow.
Because
that,
you know, you could eliminate that, all that worry completely about the blocked shots, about missing the net with the shot, all that kind of stuff. You take all of that out of the equation if there was a such thing as betting shot attempts over as opposed to shots on goal. But unfortunately, you can't do that.
Yeah, that one's a tough bet. I'd probably stay away from it tonight, but it's not a terrible bet because there's always a shot for overtime. The last three games was 26, 28, and 33, I think, for shots for Tampa. Not in that order. I just looked those up, but those are the last three shot totals. So like Ian said, you're right on it. It's a tough bet to make in this specific spot Some games it's great, but this one in a playoff game, I know there's going to be, they're going to be laying their face in front of pucks tonight. So that always scares me for a shot over. Or I know who's under too, because you know Tampa's got all the firepower in the world. So it's a that one's tough.
Yeah, I will definitely know who will come to mind if I see a Pat Maroon goal tonight for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
The big man.
This guy right here. This guy, Grant Arnold, will come to mind because he's the one that's actually – because you're right. I'd love to know anybody that's thinking Pat Maroon's going to score tonight. But, hey, you know, big body and a hard, heavy – you know, now that we're down to a best of three, hard, heavy, forecheck style of hockey, I think is what we're seeing more and more. Like Tampa Bay, they've got the flash, they've got the speed, they've got the skill and the ability and the depth with their forward group to play an up and down track meet, run and gun, rush chance game. But they're not playing the up and down track meet, rush chance game these days. They're playing, you know, cycle the puck, forecheck, you know, wear down the opposing defense in the zone. It's not really trade chances. And that also speaks to maybe Grant liking the under. See, I'm lukewarm the other way on the over, but I can't say I love it. It's just a lukewarm opinion for me. Same with Tampa first period. You know, I'd rather have Tampa first period at plus 155, minus a half goal in the first period than Tampa in regulation and worry that the game might go to overtime. And I want nothing to do with Tampa Bay minus 200 on the money line because the Islanders, you know, are seem to be right in these games. And certainly I can't lay a minus 1.5 goals with Tampa Bay. I have no interest doing that. So to me, if you're going to look at the Lightning, and I kind of want to look at Tampa Bay in this game, that is the best value. Doesn't mean it's going to win, but it's the best value in my mind. Tampa Bay minus half a goal, plus 155 in the first period. Good number, good price. And if they lead after the first period, you cash your bet. And I would think early in the game, first 20 minutes after losing, you know, Saturday night in game four, you're going to get a good first 20 out of this Tampa Bay Lightning team. As someone that's been coached by John Cooper, you're confident in them starting strong, are you?
I'm extremely confident. Can you hear me still good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm extremely confident in Coop. And you said it, you made a great point on you think of Tampa as this extremely skilled team, and you look at their forwards, and you got Point, Stamkos, Kucherov, Palat. We can go down the line even more. And then their decor, and then their goalie. And so you look at them, and it's almost like, almost in some ways, kind of like the Avs, like this crazy-ass offensive power. But then Tampa has the ability to play these games like a Montreal-style game, like a New York Islander-style game, where it's 1-0, 2-1, 3-1. And they've learned how to do that through a lot of pain. They learned how to do that from getting their ass swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets a couple years ago. They learned that from not getting a Stanley Cup. They went through the trenches to get to that cup last year. And so that's why I love this Tampa team. And I know, you know, I've been coached by Coop before, so I got a little bit of a thought on what's going on there. And that's what they do, that, you know, they win any kind of game they want to win. It doesn't matter. It's about getting the win. And if that's if we have 12, 13 shots going into the overtime or going to the third period, let's go grind it out. And they're just a tough team to beat. And then you said something on that stat about they haven't lost two in a row. They're 12-0 following a loss, going from last year's title run. So they got a hell of a track record right there. And it's hard to get that Tampa value anywhere in this game. And there's kind of a lot of different ways you can go about it. I'm going to sprinkle on that Tampa in regulation, and then the under five. Those will be my two bigger bets tonight.
All right, Tampa in regulation, under five. Looking at Pat Maroon to score for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And what was the other? There was another depth
Goudreau and Pageau. But
there you go.
They're all small bets. My biggest small bets on the big man, Patty Maroon.
Yeah,
banging in something in the crease.
Patty Maroon. Yeah, I think. Obviously for the Islanders, I am going to look to Barzal again because I've been betting Barzal every game pretty. Didn't score the last game, but still, I mean, he's been noticeable. He's had the puck a lot, getting a lot of chances, and he's plus 265 to plus 275 in most spots tonight to score a goal. So I'll be on that one as well. Get a little creative here with the goal scorer props, but the main two for me, Barzal And Braden Point, Braden Point, goal scorer prop bets usually for me are much smaller than my standard game bets. Braden Point's my biggest bet on this entire game tonight to score a goal. Like, it's seven straight games with a goal, and it's plus 160 for him to score a goal.
Just that statement in general. You got to bet it. Like, just that statement in general. So I'm going to throw a little on Point, too, just because I think it's worth it. Because, it's seven in a row, and it's plus money. That's the biggest part of that comment. It's seven in a row, and it's plus money. That's a great value bet.
Yeah, and any of those guys that I like to score a goal, Point, Barzal, Grant mentioned Pageau. When it comes to, people are asking in our chat, shots on goal. Obviously, if I think they're going to score a goal, I wouldn't want them under shots on goal. It would be over shots on goal or nothing. I'm very, very picky when it comes to shots on goal props. It's got to be something really strong for me to bet player shots on goal. And plus, I like the value of the goal scorer props better. You know, we all like to put our hand in the cookie jar and get something tasty, right?
Of course, right?
That's what the plus prices are for these props, and that's what the goal scorer prop market offers you for sure. Great analysis from Grant Arnold. We appreciate him joining us again. By the way, we have an announcement to make. We have an Ice Guys Betcast every week during the Stanley Cup playoffs. We watch the games live. We analyze them. We invite our viewers and listeners onto the BetCast to join us. We have some booze. We have some pints. We get the beer flowing as well while we're kicking back, watching the games, placing live bets. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to do another Ice Guys BetCast Thursday night this week, June 24th, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time for Game 6 between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Montreal Canadiens. And we do have a confirmed Game 6 now in this series. So it'll be do or die for somebody on Thursday night, Game 6, Vegas in Montreal, Thursday night, Ice Guys BetCast coming up this week. Join us for that. Looking forward to it. Alex and Jimmy, you know, we're hoping, like, they've been in and out. They've had, you know, doctor stuff. They've had some, you know, they've had some personal matters to deal with, but we're hoping to have Jimmy and Alex both on that BetCast Thursday night as well. We're going to have all of our viewers and listeners joining us. We'll send the invite. If you want an invite onto the BetCast, all you got to do is DM me, Alex, Jimmy, or the Ice Guys Twitter account at @_IceGuys, and we'll send you the StreamYard link right at the start of the BetCast, and you join us. And some nights we've had like seven or eight people on the BetCast. It's a shit ton of fun. We're just watching the games, commenting on them. You know, placing a bunch of live bets, which team's going to score the next goal, you know, live in-game player prop, goal scorer bets, live in-game totals, sides, third period overs. We love hitting those, especially in elimination games, because, you know, one team's got to pull the goalie and one team's got to go all out. So we're looking forward to another Ice Guys BetCast this Thursday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time for Game 6 between Montreal and Vegas. Definitely looking forward to that for sure. So join us Thursday night for that. We will get to best bets to wrap up the show in just a second. Before we do, a reminder, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, sign up for an account, use the promo code THPN. Great time of year. NHL, NBA playoffs, MLB football, NFL and college football is here in 2 months. I can't wait. I'm already doing my research and my prep work. We're looking at returning starters in college football, you know, all kinds of things, all the offseason activity in the NFL. We're analyzing the schedule analysis, which I do every year in NFL to really prepare for the season, all that stuff. So doing their football work now so that we're ready for August and September. And so no better time to download the DraftKings app than right now. And when you sign up, you'll get deposit bonuses, weekly specials, weekly incentives, and bet boosts as well. So download the DraftKings app, sign up for an account, use the promo code THPN. All right, it is time for best bets for tonight, Game 5, Islanders Lightning. Grant, we'll start with you. What do you got for best bet?
Okay, I'm super excited for this game, man. The place is going to be rocking. Anytime there's playoff hockey and we're at a best of three to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, I get a little goosebumps, and it's just going to be – just enjoy that atmosphere in many ways. And then for my best bets, I'm going with Tampa in regulation, minus 115, and then I'm going under 5 total. And I believe that's at plus 120, maybe plus 125, right in that range, depending on where you look. I believe it's 120 now, though. And then I'm going to go with the big man, Patty Maroon. Hopefully having a couple cheeseburgers for me after the game, after a nice Geno. He's at plus 425. He'll be my biggest bet of the player props, but it'll still be a smaller bet. My bigger bets on the under 5 and Tampa in regulation.
And then a little sprinkle on Goudreau and Pageau to score as well. And I really think this is going to be an old school hockey game of great coaching. These two teams deserve to be here. And we're going to see a hell of a 60 minutes, maybe more, hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not, because you got Tampa in regulation. So there you go. Yeah. Best bets, really. Tampa in regulation, -110, and also the under. Grant liking that as well. Under 5 at a plus price here tonight with the Islanders and Lightning. And yeah, one point someone mentioned about the refereeing. One last thing about Lee and Dan O'Rourke, who've been bad the last two games. Yeah, it wasn't just the last game. I remember, we all do, the Corey Perry, the missed high stick in overtime. That was incredible. They missed that. And bleeding profusely, and not even a call. It should have been 4 minutes because you drew blood on a high stick. That's always a 4 minute double minor. Nothing, you know, in that. Point. So you're right. Those referees got to hit the road. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. Yeah.
Enjoy those summer, guys. Fellas.
Yeah. Just have a good summer and leave the playoffs alone. All right. You've done enough damage to them the last couple of games with some shit ass officiating that we've seen the last couple of days. Enough. Go away. That's what I say to Chris Lee and Dan O'Rourke. Bon voyage. En français. Have a good summer for sure. My best bet, a rare goal score prop best bet tonight. Braden Point to score a goal, plus 160. He scored in 7 straight games. He's always getting chances. He's always around the front of the net. I expect nothing less from him tonight in a game of this magnitude, 2-2 series. Game 5 at home, and I think he gets on the board. And if he does, it'll be 8 straight playoff games with a goal for Braden Point at plus 160 odds. Yeah, give me that. Braden Point to score a goal, plus 160. That'll be my best bet for tonight's game between the Lightning and Islanders, Game 5. And that'll wrap up this edition of the show. Thanks to everyone for joining us in the chat. Someone in the chat saying, I love that toothpick that Grant's rocking here. If you're listening on the podcast and you can't see it, he's got a toothpick going. Yeah, Dusty Baker style. Dusty Baker Dusty always Baker has style. One of those. Yeah.
Dusty Baker style, man. I was a longtime chewer for a long time. The toothpick helps me out, and it gives me a little bit of style, maybe a little trademark. So yeah, I'm bringing positive vibes in the toothpick today.
That's right, positive vibes only. I like that. That's always a good mantra to go with. Too positive, too much negativity. We need more positivity. That's for sure. Great stuff with Grant Arnold. Great to have him on the show 2 days in a row. Reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeart. For our Grant Arnold, our special guest for the second straight show, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Monday night. Enjoy Game 5 with the Islanders and Lightning, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Tuesday for another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.